What is going on, guys? Welcome to Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It is Friday, May 31st, 2024. I dropped that beat for you.
It was so unexpected.
Yeah, there you go. You know, Eminem and myself, we just decided to drop new stuff today. So there you go. Sure.
Eminem has a new track?
I guess so. That's what the streets are saying. Okay. So. But guys, I want to say thank you for joining us today. We have a lot to talk about. We are going to talk about MJF's return, but we're also going to talk about All Ego Ethan Page making his debut in NXT. We're going to talk about Jordan Grace returning to the WWE as a surprise, plus the contracts of Becky Lynch, Chad Gable, Ricochet, and Natalya. And we also have the Cooper Effect. But as we start every show, Maggie, how you doing?
Well, Robert. So, I was off this Monday. I was doing my own stuff.
Jazz hands.
No, like Shota Umino did. Yeah. Because, you know, Ospreay taught him.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I was home on Monday, and someone rang my doorbell, and no one rings my doorbell. Like, no one comes here. And I like it that way, by the way. And I'm like, what is this? So I open the door, and it's my baby sister. You know, she's not my real sister. She's my colleague. And I was like, okay. So, like, that's the only thing I would accept besides Tom Hardy naked. So that's the second best thing. Okay, so come in. So she came in. We had a cup of, a cup of tea. And she was like, okay, listen. How about we watch one episode, the first episode of The Vampire Diaries, and I'll just go home. So I was like, okay, like, that's probably the only way I'm going to watch this stupid show. I'll never watch it on my own anyway. So we sit down, watch the first episode, and then she left, and now I'm on season two. And I freaking hate her for that. I like the show. What the hell is this? Why do I like it? It's a total chick flick. I don't normally like chick flicks, but it's vampires. And, like, this blonde dude that I like, his name is Matt and stuff. And I, what the hell is happening? And, like, she's in Milan now. She watched Metallica on a concert.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay, so it's time for you to get home so I can kick your ass for making me love The Vampire Diaries. So she's home now. And I'm going to see her tomorrow. And I'm going to break her nose. Oh. Even though I like her nose, she has a really nice nose. But she make me like The Vampire Diaries. I feel violated. Like, this second to none, probably, but, like, my biggest thing to be ashamed about is the fact that I like 50 Shades of Grey, and I'm really, really ashamed of that. I honestly am. And now I like The Vampire Diaries. I hate myself for that. So, Rob, let's talk about some good things, because that's freaking sucks. So, wrestling is awesome, right? Oh,
yeah.
My God. Before we get into the show, I finally stopped wanting to cough my intestines out so I can actually plug some crap before we start talking. Guys, hi. Thank you, our fans of Coexisting. Thank you for joining us today. Please hit the thumbs up. It is the most direct and free way to support this show. If you want to support us via your wallet, you can send a super chat. It's the bottom of the live chat on YouTube. It's a little dollar sign. Any amount will get your question or statement read on the air. You can also donate a Humper Chat at humperchats.com. It will help you, you know, donate us some money if you're not watching on YouTube or on you're watching on other platforms. Humperchats.com also makes us keep a little bit more of the money. Please subscribe to Fightful Select. We do have a free tier of Fightful Select. You get a lot of news from there, but you will get your money's worth if you subscribe to Fightful Select. I promise you this. Sean and Corey are doing an amazing job when it comes to scoopsies. Also, a lot of contract news. This is Sean's favorite topic, so please don't ruin this for him with your fuckery. Yeah, we're 6 minutes in with your fuckery. Also, please share the podcast. Tell your friends about us and sponsor us.
Yeah. So before we move on, you know, like, so you've been watching Vampire Diaries, you know, so you know who this is. Yes. Nina Dobrev.
Yeah.
She. Bulgarian. Okay. Well, damn it. Now, you know, annoying's half the battle. So there you go. But we do have a super chat from our good friend, Ryan Sullivan. He says, I prefer the werewolf journals. So there you go. And we have another super chat from our good friend, Ricardo. Hello from me and my kitty baby, Luna.
I want to see the kitty.
All right. So send.
I want to see the kitty.
Okay. We want to see the cat. So we'll figure out a way to do that. So if you have to, I don't know if you have Twitter, but if you do, let us know and
I want to see the kitty.
Get it on the show. But let's go ahead and get started here. NXT was a surprise this week because we got the debut of somebody. His name's Ethan Page. I knew that I tweeted Monday night, and I knew I wasn't gonna tag you because A, I didn't want anybody to spoil it for you.
Tuesday night.
It ended up getting it. Somebody ended up spoiling it, or you saw it, so. Something happened.
You meant Tuesday night, right? Because you said Monday.
Yeah, sorry, Tuesday. Yeah, Ethan Page made his debut in NXT. And I knew, just based on what happened earlier on NXT, that you were absolutely just going to love that show. But then Ethan Page showed up, and I'm like, well, Maggie's absolutely just going to effing love this show even more. Like, this is going to probably be one of her top episodes, if not her favorite episode of NXT ever. And
well, it's not even close to my favorite episode of NXT. It was exciting. It was, yeah, it was good in a different way.
Yeah. So it's good to see Ethan Page on TV. It's good to see him ready to, I'm excited to see what he does. He comes right into the title picture in NXT. And we already know he's deserving because he's good on the mic. He's amazing on the microphone. And they got a good story for him. Like, he has already attacked people behind the scenes, you know, or behind the storyline, you know. They already got a storyline for him.
And took out their champion. Yes.
Yeah, kayfabe. So they got that going for him. What was your reaction other than, like, you said you screamed, but how excited are you for Ethan Page? And other than seeing him wrestle against Trick, who are some people in NXT you want to see him go against?
Well, now, so I got out of bed on Wednesday morning, and I don't know why. I usually don't open social media before I watch the shows, but I was like, it's NXT, I'm going to be fine. Which, wouldn't you know it, the very day that I absolutely do not have to open social media to get spoilers for NXT, I actually do. So this was really funny because, like, I was half awake. Stop showing me.
I didn't mean to. I was trying to delete the. I was trying to delete the photo.
I mean, but, I know, but she's pretty, but come on.
Yeah, she is pretty. So.
She is really pretty. She's like she's so Bulgarian. You have no idea. Like, she... So, I open up Twitter. Instagram, and I'm half awake, half asleep, and I see Ethan Page, and I'm like, oh, cool, Ethan Page. Like, and I know that the dude like posts pictures every now and then from, you know, in the ring, because I'm not actually paying attention to what's on the background. I just see Ethan Page because, again, I'm half asleep. But then I see the caption, And then it says, whoop that trick. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I was like, okay, I'm up now. So I got out of bed. I made a cup of coffee and I immediately, you know, started watching NXT. And you texted me. And I was like, I already saw the damn thing. I already spoiled it. And you sent me a picture of your tweet, you know, a screenshot. And you don't mention anything. And I say to you, I'm so happy for him. He deserves it. And at that exact moment, you realized that I had no idea about Jordynne Grace. So you said nothing.
Yep.
You were like, just stay off of social media. And I'm like, okay, something else happened. So I watched the show patiently, but, you know, talking about Ethan Page for a while. I am just so gosh darn happy for the guy. I adore the North over at Impact. And when word got out that his contract expired, and I was so ready for him to go to AEW because, you know, it was the new and interesting land of opportunity, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking forward to that. And now when I think about it, I don't actually remember all the matches that I was excited for him about when he debuted in AEW. I love the fact that he kicked the crap out of Darby for a while because, like, if you've watched our show, you know that I'm not big on Darby. I mean, he's incredibly entertaining, I know, but, like, I just don't get... I'm not the demographic for this. And the Men of the Year gimmick with Scorpio Sky, I mean, where's Scorpio Sky, like, to begin with? And Dan Lambert this was just a horrible, horrible mistake. I just don't want to remember it. I was looking forward to Ethan Page actually being the one to dethrone Miro. This was the only exceptional thing that I would have said yes to. And oh boy, was I ever so wrong. Because, like, he got punished for something, you know, and got, you know, sent to Ring of Honor. I'm not saying that Ring of Honor is a bad show, but nothing ever happens there, actually. He was put into a title picture somehow, you know, with Kyle Fletcher, right?
Mm-hmm.
No. Yes?
Yeah, Kyle Fletcher, wasn't it?
Okay.
Oh, shit, now I forgot.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it was Kyle Fletcher.
I'll look it and up.
Yes, please look it up because I don't want to talk, you know, stuff that aren't true. So, and then nothing happened. And I know that people on Fightful were pretty vocal about it. Both Reg and Kay, who are hosting the post Ring of Honor show on Fightful, they were pretty vocal about that. And, you know, none of us knew what the hell was going on. And then we realized that Ethan Page is, you know, no longer there. And I was kind of expecting word to get out before him going anywhere. But nothing like that happened. He just popped into NXT. I had no idea. This was so good. And him being directly shoved into the main event picture actually gives me hope that he will be Tony Nese first. Oh yeah, I'm talking about, you know, the storyline in which he was supposed to be a part of but never was. That's what I'm talking about. I know Tony Nese, yeah, sure, but like,
yeah, now I can't find it.
Yeah, well, whatever. It just goes to show you that I don't remember because, you know, not that I, you know, watched NXT, watched Ring of Honor every week anyway. I mean, I stopped watching the show because, you know, the champions were there. And I just didn't see a point of me being present. I mean, a part of Athena that tell me why I should be watching Ring of Honor. Yeah, so going back to Ethan Page, do you think he gets the title?
No.
Because I kind of feel like he's going to be a part of a three-way. Ethan Page, Trick Williams, and Noam Dar. Trick Williams can pin Noam Dar, and that way Ethan Page gets protected. In a way, I hate that, but in a way, yes. And eventually, I would like for him to, you know, be the one to be Trick Williams. But I am incredibly biased. Incredibly biased, because I adore Ethan Page. When he debuted in the casino thing, chip.
The ladder match?
Yeah. I broke my couch because I... Yeah. So exactly like Soupy said, Ethan Page now owes me a second couch because, like, technically he didn't get me the first time a new couch. So just give me a new couch, Ethan. Julian, okay? I know you're watching. Hope you appreciate this, Julian. So, in my drip video that I made for you. Jesus.
Yeah. So we do have another super chat. Rob, check your DMs. On Twitch.
Yes, I want to see the show me.
Here's Giggo Maggie.
Show me. Oh my God. Luca? Was her name Luca? What was that what you said? Oh my God.
Luna.
Okay. So you can just
Yep. I'm trying to get some
page. Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying. This is my first day here. There we go.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry for the audio listeners. Incredibly sorry, but oh my.
So, yeah, Ethan Page, like, I know they're not going to put the title on him because there's one thing that I've learned for the most part, is WWE tends not to put the belts on people that come over from a different company right away.
Come on over, baby.
So that's why. But
boy, don't you know I got something going on.
So let's move on to
Jordan Grace. But like, this is a new WWE, okay? Like you don't know, okay?
Well, I do know because
just don't know.
I have a feeling. That's one thing I just don't see them. I don't see Triple H doing for the most part. I just don't. I don't know. I mean,
why would he get pushed into the title picture immediately? And if you listen up. If you give me Lexus King, I'm going to kill you.
No, I'm not like saying that at all. I'm just saying he's not going to win it. Like I'm not saying he won't win it in a second shot. I'm just saying he won't win it in his first. He just won't.
Oh yeah, he won't be in his first try, because exactly what I said. He's going to be put into a three-way. Noam Dar will get pinned.
Yeah,
but he's going to get it.
I don't think he's going to lose it anytime soon. I think it'll be the next, not the next, not like the next NXT like PLE, but maybe the one before SummerSlam or after SummerSlam, if then. I mean, I could see him holding it for a while. Jackie Rodriguez, hello, sends us a super chat. She says, super chat for Maggie's sweet singing skills.
I mean, I wasn't even trying, sweetie. But you're the one. I miss your voice, by the way, also. I really, really do. You should sing more. Or sing to me. You know, so in private. Fuck the people, okay? Just sing to me.
So we move on to Jordan Grace. Jordan Grace made a return to the WWE ring. We last saw her at the Royal Rumble earlier this year in January. She showed up and surprised everyone. And I cried. Oh, you cried, which made Maggie cry, which is good for wrestling-wise. Happy tears. So, that surprised everyone. Roxanne Perez said that she did not want to know. She wanted a genuine response to it. So that was pretty cool to see and hear about. I love stuff like that. Like the genuine reaction. That was just great. So Jordynne Grace is going to be wrestling for the NXT title. Did you think at the Royal Rumble we would see this by now? Like I kind of had a feeling we'd see NXT and TNA like do some more stuff. I just didn't think it'd be within 4 months of it. So it's interesting.
So as you can see, I'm kind of speechless about this because it's such a wonderful thing. I mean, this whole thing started with Mickie James being a part of the Rumble with her Knockouts Championship, and they said on commentary, Impact's champion, Mickie James. But like, granted, they did do that in order to redeem themselves over the whole garbage bag situation that they had that year. But the Jordynne Grace thing at the Rumble was absolutely out of the blue for me. It shocked me, but you know, like I said on the Rumble, and I'm gonna repeat myself now again, because I was hyping, you know, an AJ Lee return at the Rumble. You know how I am. You know, every time the Rumble comes around, I start, you know, flapping my mouth for AJ Lee. I'm never gonna stop, by the way. Every year, you're gonna get so freaking tired of me. So, you, Doc, Corey, Soupy, you know, people like you, always know the second best thing is Jordynne Grace for me, you know, when it comes to AJ Lee and Jordynne Grace. This is such a close one that I will only accept the substitute if the substitute is Jordynne Grace. This is the thing. So Roxanne Perez comes out and says, okay, who's my opponent? Tell me who's my opponent. And I'm like, oh my God, it's AJ Lee. It's AJ. They're going to do it. And then Jordynne Grace music hit. And I'm like, fuck it again. Yes. Just give me. Like, again, the only substitute I am willing to take is Jordynne Grace. And I cannot believe that I didn't put two and two together, because my mind does stuff like that, you know? It links the things in my head, and I should know, but like I just don't listen to my brain, but I really should. So I screamed, I cried, and I'm like, fucking yes, Jordynne Grace is my hero. She's my hero. I love her. I want to hug her, although she can crack my ribs probably.
But, yeah, well, yeah, she could crack my ribs. And
yeah. So
crack anybody's ribs if she wanted to,
for that matter. So this is kind of weird now, because everyone started flipping out of their minds. Fightful Select did confirm that she is getting paid for 3 appearances. The one she had this week, the match next week against Stevie Turner.
Yep.
And then the eventual pay-per-view, a premium live event match that she's going to have against Roxanne Perez. So the other amazing thing out of this entire situation is that Roxanne Perez didn't want to know which her opponent was at all. She wanted to be as surprised as everyone else. So the reaction that we got out of Roxanne in the ring was absolutely 100% genuine.
Yeah.
This warms my heart. And this is one of the many perks that you're going to get when you subscribe to Fightful Select. By the way, please do. So this just makes me so giddy. The awful thing is that someone has to lose in this match. And I'm as excited I am for this match and the wonderful opportunities that Jordynne Grace is going to get from this match, you know, from such a big exposure, you know, for mainstream exposure. As happy as I am, I'm also equally amounts of pissed off because I kind of feel like she's going to lose. And while my brain refuses to believe so, if she kind of wins, I don't know how, because her TNA championship isn't on the line. Except for, like, yeah, at least for now. At least for now it isn't. And the only title which is on the line is Roxanne Perez. Sis title. So if they want to call her up to the main roster, they can have, like, is this the only way I would accept a non-finish or a time limit draw? Because WWE don't do time limit draws. At least they haven't in recent memory. Like, if someone in the chat remembers, just please correct us, because Rob and I aren't good with remembering stuff. So I'm so excited and so anxious at the same time, which just goes to show you just how brilliant it is. It's so amazing, because now I get to dream of, you know, having Killer Kelly versus Wendy Chu. Because tell me you don't want to see that.
There's a lot of matches I would want to see, but, you know, just like there's a couple of things like to this story that makes this very interesting. So we know that she'll be wrestling June 9th against Roxanne Perez. June 14th, she said it on Busted Open today that she will hold an open challenge for the TNA Knockouts title at Against All Odds, which is on June 14th, like I said. So I have a feeling that's going to be somebody WWE related. I really do. And I know, and we'll talk about contracts here in a few minutes, but I have a feeling, I think I know who's going to be challenging her. I just really do.
Is it going to be Natalya?
That's who I think it's going to be.
I can totally see it being Natalya, because Natalya and Jordynne Grace is absolutely something I want to see. Mm-hmm. People often forget about Natalya, but like everything, even the stuff that she did over at NXT in the past month, amazing. Just give me more of that. Natalya is amazing. Absolutely amazing. When Jordynne Grace was a part of the Rumble and this week she was a part of NXT, I look at her and go, AEW had a working relationship with Impact for a full year?
Pretty close, if not a year, yeah.
Yeah, and they did nothing with the Knockouts.
Yeah.
Not even a thing.
Yeah.
I was so pissed off at that. I mean, everyone was right there. And I'm sorry, AEW's women's division needs all the help it can get. You know, all the help it can get. And they did nothing with that. I want to be like, a part of me wants to believe that there's a reason for that, because like they had, you know, some obstacles or whatever, because I don't want to believe that they had an opportunity to make incredible amount of money and incredibly, you know, entertaining matches and storylines and just decided not to do that. Or they were limited to the amount of talent that they could switch back and forth. I don't know. Like, I don't know how it works. But the thing I know is that they had an opportunity and then they squander it, or whatever that word is. Yeah.
And you know, something that I thought about yesterday, with this maybe working agreement that might be going on, I think I know who I want to challenge Moose at Slammiversary.
Yeah, I know. I was going to bring that up also.
AJ Styles is who I want. AJ Styles to challenge Moose for the title.
And win.
And win. I want him to win. I want him to win that title. I want him to be the TNA champion one more time.
One more time, please. Just give it to me.
Fantastic if that happened. I can dream.
People are going to lose their freaking minds.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, he did a video congratulating, you know, and people in the building.
Yeah.
That was me. Or a video. Probably, yeah. From Bulgaria, you know. Yeah. And he was, you know, making a video from his own home. And, yeah, you know, they aired it during the, you know, the event. And everyone fucking lost their minds. So, yes, because... AJ Styles did go right into Nick Aldis's office, and he was like, give me a second chance because I'm running out of time. And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? And Nick Aldis was like, I'm sorry. I love you. I adore. He didn't mean it like that, but like, that's basically what I wanted to say. So he was like, I respect you as a competitor, and I'm sorry, but I cannot help you. You have to, you know, earn your opportunity. And AJ Styles was like, I'm running out of time, man. And I'm like, don't say it. And then, you know, he just left the office. This is my cue to mention that we haven't had the opportunity on this show to praise the crap out of all the work that Nick Aldis has been doing on SmackDown. I am so here for this. In my mind, at some point during either Survivor Series or War Games or whatever you want to call it, Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce are going to lead their own teams together, and they are going to fight. Give me Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce. Like, it writes itself. And you know, because I don't want to see a full match, one-on-one match. They can do a tag team or whatever. Nick Aldis is not at all near, you know, hanging up in the ring. He can still go. Just give me a match. So I can see AJ Styles, but I'm not sure they're gonna give us that. I mean, if you're just going to give AJ Styles, you can give them to Kenny Omega and just let us see the match.
Yeah.
I want to see the match. A lot of potential stuff, because Josh Alexander absolutely lost his shit. And then he was like, well, if, you know, the protector of TNA or whatever, like whatever. Yeah. He's. And I'm like, okay, sure. I won't be mad at AJ Styles versus Josh Alexander.
I won't. Yeah, that's the thing. I wouldn't be mad. Like, there's a lot of people I would want to see that.
I mean, Chad Gable versus Josh Alexander is also a thing I would like to see.
Wow. Yeah.
I would also like to see Bron Breakker and Josh Alexander.
Wow. There's a lot. I mean, that's the thing. There's so many matches, but we'll move on some more. We'll move on. Big week as far as contracts go. You know, WWE has. I wouldn't say they made it. Well, I guess you would say they made a mess out of everything going on. If it's as well, I mean, we know it's as bad as it sounds contract wise. They have a lot of things going on with so many people, big names being free agents. Mm-hmm. And we'll start with, even though Chad Gable, we'll start with him. He's been getting a push on Raw that we've seen, and he's made himself look like really, the push has made him look really good, like from the standpoint of being just a jackass heel, you know, and they've got it to the point where when Otis turns on him, Otis is going to be a huge too, you know, like that's going to be good. So I don't, this is just me, you know, this is my opinion. I don't think I don't think Chad's going anywhere. I think Chad's going to stay. I think he's staying. I think a lot of people are staying now. I think they want, this is again, just me speculating. This isn't a report or anything. I think they like seeing what's going on. I think they like the change that's been going on. And I think a lot of them want to stay. Now, granted, I don't know if that's completely true. There might be different reasons, but I think a lot of them will want to stay. That's just my hunch. But Chad Gable, like, going this close to his contract and giving him this big push is very interesting to me. And I think it's a way that WWE is showing good faith. Now, something that I brought up too is Sean Rossap interviewed Chad Gable. And Chad has, like, he talked about the future in WWE. So it's very interesting to see, like, what he sees, like, with this contract, you know, like he was talking, like, in advance, like a couple of years during their conversation at the Royal Rumble. So I'm kind of just, maybe at that time he planned on re-signing. Maybe they're separate on money. Who knows? You know, so the ball's in the court of Chad Gable. The good thing is, this is a great thing about having a competitor in AEW. Wrestlers are getting paid more because there's a new kid in town, you know? So that's a great thing, that the people that we love to watch are getting paid more. So that's a good thing. So I'm hoping, I love watching Chad Gable. I think he's one of the WWE's best wrestlers. And I want to see him stay. Everybody there, I actually think should stay. Yeah, but it's up to them. I can wish him, like, one hand, you know. But I think it's one of those things where they have to do what's best for themselves. And that's what we've always said on this show. What's best for them, not what's best for what we think's best for us. So whatever makes them happy. So you have Ricochet, whose contract's up, too. You have Becky Lynch's, whose contract's up this weekend. Chad Gable, Becky Lynch. You have Natalya. Like, we just talked about her. Natalya's, like, we both think that she could be the one that's challenging Jordan Grace at Slam at the was it against All Out? What show? Yes, whatever show it was. Yeah, we think that could be a possibility. She's somebody I don't picture going elsewhere either, but you never know. But then there's other people too, like, who's rumored to have contracts up this year. Kevin Owens is one. AJ Styles, I believe, is one. So there's so many things going on with contracts. And so it's no surprise that WWE got rid of the person that was in charge of contracts and re-signings, because they're going to have to give a lot of money away. But it's money worth, in my opinion, investing in, because these people are really damn good at their job. So my question to you, Maggie, is, do you see any of those names that I mentioned leaving the company?
Well, Robert. So, Chad Gable. What surprised me, I think it was not this Raw, but like the previous Raw. He was like he had a lot of segments on Raw with Otis, with Sammy, in ring and everything. He had I felt like Raw was built around Alpha Academy and, you know, the storyline with Chad, Otis, and Sammy, you know, and Alpha Academy as a whole. Which got me thinking, I'm like, why is that? Like, I'm enjoying the fact that they're pushing Chad Gable, because I've been enjoying Chad Gable ever since he was a part of American Alpha on NXT. we can all see the incredible talent that the guy has, and whether he's a babyface or whether he's a heel. Like, I personally, I prefer him as a babyface because I kind of feel like he wrestles his best in ring style when he's a babyface. But, like, we haven't yet seen him, you know, a lot as a heel. Like, he just started. So I'm going to give that some time. But his storyline is working exactly because of, you know, everything that you said, because he's pushing his character forward while he's putting over Otis. And the good thing is when everything transpires, they're both going to look good.
Yeah.
So whether he leaves or not, I don't think that he's leaving. I think he's going to stay. But I kind of feel like he's young. He can afford to go somewhere else and then return to WWE. There's like all the possibilities are there. This is exactly the thing that I said about Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay can have a lot of awesome matches in AEW. He can, you know, make a name for himself in AEW. And then if he wants, he can go to WWE when his AEW contract expires. These are all things that are possible. Did you Google how old Chad Gable was?
Yes, he's 38.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
He's okay. You know? Like, yeah, he can go somewhere else and then come back to WWE. Personally, I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's going to resign. But you know, that's just me. The guy can have a lot of other stuff on his head, you know, on his mind. So that's my thoughts on Chad Gable. Natalia. I actually think that she can explore free agency for a little while, but just for a little while, and then she's going to resign again. Tyson Kidd is a big question mark for me because I'm sorry for saying this. I really want to see Tyson Kidd as a part of AEW. I just...
Why? I mean, nothing wrong with that. I just, like, from a producer standpoint...
I just
want to
see him produce a lot of stuff in AEW. I want to see him produce women's matches. I want to see I want to see if the show changes its perspective on a lot of stuff when Tyson Kidd's there.
And the thing is, okay, so granted, we never know with what somebody could do with their motivations. You know, Sean's mentioned that before. We don't know their motivations. So I think that would be a disaster for WWE to lose him because of how good he is with the women's roster. Plus, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, I think he has a job for life there. I think he's one of the very few people that has a job for life in WWE because he's been able to prove how good he is with producing the women's matches and just matches in general. And I also think Natalia has a job for life as well. I think she could go into NXT and be a coach. Like right away if she wanted to. I mean, that's how good she is. So it's one of those things where we don't know their motivations, but I don't know. That's the thing. Like, I could see it. I mean, there's a lot of people. I didn't picture Pat Buck like getting out of his contract to go, you know. That's the thing. You never know.
You never know.
Yeah. And again, a lot of this ties back to seeing how maybe people want to see how it goes in WWE right now. You know, like with Triple H and the new company, but you just don't know. I mean, they've already proven they messed up once. I think them losing Trevor Lee, aka Cameron Grimes, is gonna bite them in the ass, but that's just me. So Becky Lynch is another name whose contract's up. She's staying.
Becky losing her championship the way that she did at King and Queen of the Ring, and then losing her opportunity to regain that championship again at this week's main event of Raw. So this is really funny. Dominic, you know, he was at fault both times, you know. I guess that this kind of protects Becky because she was, what the hell are you doing here? Just go home. You're a snot-nosed brat. Go away. You know, basically everything that I would say to Dominic Mysterio if I see the guy. So, yeah. So he threw some chairs. And then Liv Morgan DDT'd the crap out of Becky on top of one of the chairs. And then Oblivion. And then there you go, new champ. Mm-hmm. That's great. I love Liv. Love is a bit pushing it. I like the girl. She's great. She's improved immensely during the pandemic. A lot of people backstage mentioned to Sean that she's been working a lot through the pandemic. And that's great. So Becky's last match, or like presumably last match, it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't, you know, the as big as I would have wanted it to be, because it was kind of meh, and that's not a live in any way. It's like, you know, the match was kind of underwhelming, I want to say. I felt like it didn't, the fact that if she's gonna take a sabbatical, I kind of feel like it came out of nowhere, but it really didn't. Like, we knew that her contract was about to expire soon, like in a couple of months, you know, but like we kind of saw that she was gonna resign, mm-hmm. and then she didn't, and we were like, where are you going? Like, yeah. Why? So I do actually think, because like she's a best-selling author, she's a millionaire, she has a wonderful husband that is a bit of injured right now. I suppose that she could spend a lot of time with her family, with her daughter, with her husband. She can actually help her husband heal faster, become a bit stronger. Not that he needs it. Like, she can spend a lot of time persuading him to go back to his Shield gear. Just, you know, to get out of pop out of me. So I do believe that she will stay in WWE, but I do think that she's gonna take a bit of time off. That's about Becky. But Ricochet, I kind of feel like Ricochet is a different thing. And I don't just mean that because of the picture Will Ospreay posted on Twix. I'm not even gonna mention that, because like he posted the picture of him and Ricochet shaking hands, but he didn't he posted only the handshaking, not, you know, who the people are. And the stupid thing is, all of the internet knew who was in that photo without him, you know, ever revealing the thing. Yeah, when you think about Ricochet matches before he came to WWE, you think of that match between him and Will Ospreay. Such an amazing thing. This is a kind of a question mark for me right now. I mean, he is speed champion. I don't know how much weight that has. I know I know that right now WWE are in total acknowledgement of the fact that the guy makes a lot of, you know, internet numbers, social media numbers, because of the wild things that he does in the ring with people during the Rumble, in NXT also. You know, like, the dude can create magic with the right people. His match against Carmelo Hayes in NXT last year was probably one of my matches of the year. This will remain a question mark for me, because I do kind of see him maybe jumping ship. I don't know where, because like the easiest thing will for me to say is, oh, he can go to AEW. Yeah, sure. He can go whatever the hell he wants. For people saying, oh, he's with Samantha. Different wrestlers for different companies are allowed to date each other. Just so you guys know.
That's exactly it. If, in my opinion, if there's one person that, out of the names that we mentioned, that's the one I think is the most likely, and I actually still give WWE the better shot at re-signing them.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yes.
And that's just the way I think. I think they need to keep a lot of these people, because when they move over to Netflix in the new year, they're going to want to have some people are going to want to watch their favorite wrestlers, and they're going to want to try to keep them. You know what I mean? Like, try to get people to continue watching, because in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, I think live events is going to hurt for WWE coming up because of Netflix. That's just my opinion. I could be completely wrong, and I hope I am, for WWE's sake. Because that's just my opinion. I mean, granted, they're staying on USA Network on Fridays, and they'll have CW on Tuesdays, I believe. I believe CW said they're staying on Tuesdays. Maybe that changes too. Who knows? But we'll have to see.
I'm sorry for interrupting you, but like I'm sorry for jumping to that subject again, but like the fact that we got TNA chance in NXT just blew my mind.
Yeah. You know, usually, like, this is a good question. It's not a super chat, but I'm going to answer it. Would Gable get a better spot on the card in AEW? Maybe, like,
you at can first, never know. But no.
At first, maybe, like, but then I don't think so. That's the other thing I think people need to realize too is, yeah, you're going to get that push right away, but after a little bit, it goes away. You know, that's everywhere. That's everywhere though.
Malakai Black has the guy.
Yeah, Malakai Black,
Miro,
Andrade. You know,
Andrade is absolutely the perfect comparison here.
Paige, or Saraya.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on with her right now that a lot of speculation. So because of what she said on Twitter this week, so nobody really knows with her, but let's see. It's just really, really hard to see what direction they go, but I'll say this. I would love to see Will Ospreay versus Chad Gable. I know that much.
Well, Rob, at this point, we'd love to see Will Ospreay versus practically anyone.
That's so true. That is true. Yeah.
So that's saying a lot.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and move on. Or did we?
As a whole, Killing Queen of the Ring. What did you think of the show?
Yeah, I thought it was a decent show. I thought it was pretty good. I thought. The biggest issue that I had was obviously the ending was the shoulder up, but I'm glad they addressed it. I thought the referee's decision.
You're referencing Gunther versus Orton because you didn't mention anything.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, my bad. Gunther versus Randy Orton. Yeah. Randy Orton versus Gunther. I enjoyed that match. It looked like one of those things where I'm glad they addressed it, but I also wonder, I think in a way, I think it was, they would have been better off not addressing it just the way it went. But I enjoyed that match.
The match was absolutely amazing. And I love how Orton integrated his in-ring work to work with Gunther, because like they haven't faced each other before. So
yeah. So
it's something to think about, because I definitely want to see the match again, because, and that's coming from me, because I'm not looking forward to, you know, Randy Orton matches. You know, I'm not that wrestling fan. But I love the fact that Randy Orton soaked in, you know, the fan reaction. This is the part when I say that France created this wonderful thing. France. Like they raised the bar so much for crowd reactions that everyone started singing Randy Orton's theme now. And this brings a tear to the eye. It really does. It's amazing. Unlike the French crowd in Roland Garros right now, you know, the tennis Grand Slam tournament, get your shit together, France, and shut the fuck up while people are playing. Okay, so be more respectful, okay? I should have a tennis podcast on this show, on this platform. Why don't I have a tennis podcast? So, Triple H was like, Randy Orton's shoulder might have been up. And I'm like, really? It was in Earth's orbit. It might have been up? Really? And the stupid thing is that it happened right in front of the referee. And I was like, well, it's going to be a part of the story, because it was right there. And I hate pointing fingers, but like the ref could have, you know, did the whole slide under the, you know, and then count to three. This would have been much better. It still would have been bad because of, you know, would ruin the whole dynamic of, you know, the match.
Yeah.
But it's just this thing. I'm not going to be mad if we see another match. And I would have preferred if Gunther was the one to actually want another match with Orton, because he didn't want this spot on his, you know, reputation or resume or whatever you want to call it. But he doesn't. But like that's totally 100% fine. Logan and Cody was what it is. All of us knew that this match was going to be good. A couple of things from this, the drone shot of Logan before that frog splash from the top row to the announce table, that was a thing of beauty. We later found out that this was pitched by Logan himself. The dude knows stuff. And I'll give that to him, okay? Like, we crap on the guy a lot. But the thing is, he's an amazing wrestler for the amount of time that he's had in the ring. This should be illegal. And he does have a certain eye when it comes to video stuff. It's good. The other thing that stood out was... yes. Thank you, Soupy. Okay, thank you, Ryan. I mean, I expected more from you, Ryan, by the way, just FYI. Hit the thumbs up.
Doesn't even have tennis in Bulgaria.
Yeah, there you go. That's I'm
there we go. We got tennis puns. So this is what's going on. We have
this isn't Soupy. Sour grubs. At least Soupy. Send us money.
Like Soupy says she needs to serve up that podcast. Soupy Ryan says, you know what? Now it's going too fast. So now I can't. Da-da-da-da-da. My chat's all messed up now. Anyways. Yeah. And then Queen of the Ring, Nia Jax, she looked great. Good for her winning the Queen of the Ring. If you would have told me a year ago that she would be the Queen of the Ring winner, I would have told you why.
Well,
but she deserves it.
She absolutely deserves it. Like I said on Twix, I'm all here for giving flowers whenever great, you know, improvement is at hand. So she absolutely deserves it.
This chat sets us apart. So,
is this my fault?
Yeah.
I kind of feel like tennis. It's my fault. Yeah, okay. It's probably
in a wrestling podcast, you brought up tennis.
Yeah.
If you think Pete Sampras is gonna walk in here, if you think Pete Sampras is gonna walk onto this podcast and give us suplex tips, you're wrong.
It was all the line.
Monica Sella stabbed in the back.
Okay.
Literally.
Let's just move on.
Ba-dum-bum.
Just move on. Yes.
She's okay, though. She's still here.
Yeah. So, as I was saying, the other thing that stood up from Logan and Cody was when Logan went to, you know, to use the brass knuckles, and Michael Cole was like, "You're better than this. Don't use that." And he started crapping on the guy, and Logan started getting into his face, and Corey Graves, like, he stood in his way, and then Michael Cole thanked him on commentary. I thought that was a really nice thing.
Yeah, I liked it. I did. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
The first time that we've seen, if I recall, it's the first time we've seen Corey Graves on the main roster kind of show himself willing to get physical.
Yeah. I mean, we all knew that he wasn't going to.
Yeah.
But
the thing is he was cleared. Fightful reported he was cleared, so you never know.
Yeah, you never know. It's this thing, but like it was a wonderful thing, like him telling the people, "Oh, remember me? I used to wrestle actually." Because like, you know, Neville is no longer there for him to, you know, tell people that he was a part of, you know, a tag team in NXT.
Yeah, well, you know, people forgot and forget, and not only Gravity. So
I hate it here.
What? Oh,
okay, let's move on. Okay, before you say something again. Okay, so we can do a Cooper Fact and then start talking about, you know, some AEW.
Okay, let's do it. Cooper Fact coming on up. Let's go. Here we go.
Sacrifice! 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 Sacrifice!
Oh, wrong one. My bad. Here you go.
By the way, people in the chat are continuing with the puns, and I hate you guys.
I love you guys. Keep it up.
Just fucking at least send us money for that. Like, you guys suck. I love you, by the way. You make my life so much happier. Hit the thumbs up. Okay, guys. So today I'm going to tell you about a 16-year-old girl who's a fucking genius. Okay? So she won the first prize in the USA's largest and most prestigious science fair. A 16-year-old girl, she found new ways to optimize the components of biomedical implants, promising a future of safer, faster, and longer-lasting versions of these critical devices. It's not the work of science fiction. Bioelectronic implants like the pacemaker have been around for decades, but also suffer from compatibility issues in interfacing with the human body. On Friday, Gray's son from Lexington, Kentucky, pocketed $75,000 and was recognized among 2,000 of the nation and the world's top STEM students and having produced the number one project. Sun's work focused on improving the compatibilities of organic electrochemical transistors, which, like other devices made of silicon, are soft, flexible, and present the possibility of more complex implants for use of the brain or the heart. Guys, she's 16 years old, and she's already making a better place of this horrible, horrible world that we're living in. She's also a woman. So a lot of, you know, incredibly, you know, dumb men. Oh, science stuff is made by men. Boom! That. 16-year-old girl, bitches. You go, girl. I love you. Yay, women. Nice.
Got another super chat. This one's from Ryan Sullivan. He says, sorry if we're putting you in Andre agony, Maggie. Hey, it's a super chat, so you can't get mad. So, Maggie, Double or Nothing was this past weekend. They returned to Las Vegas for the sixth time.
Feels like the 60th time.
It's been 84 years.
Been 65 years. So.
Anyways, AEW Double or Nothing. Let's ask you, what did you think of the pay-per-view first off? On a 1 to 10 scale, what would you give it?
Oh, it was a fantastic pay-per-view. I hate scales. So, okay, maybe probably, I don't know, 8.5.
Okay. That's
no, that's fine. What I want to start off
nine with, in the Tokyo Dome, so
sure, yeah, 9 in the Tokyo Dome. What I want to start off with is that AEW higher ups watch our pre-show, okay, because they put Will Ospreay and Roderick Strong at the very start of the pay-per-view, exactly like I wished for, because I said, hey, I want to watch this match with a fresh cup of coffee, and then I did.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh cup of coffee. No pie. Sucks, by the way. No pie. But like, I did have fresh cup of coffee. I loved the match. This was so good. There was a really clunky, you know, spot with Undisputed Kingdom. They did, you know, the electric chair position lariat thing. And Matt Taven got his foot stuck on the rope. And, you know, it didn't look that good, but it was fine. The spot with Wardlow actually made me laugh so hard because he made it incredibly clear that he didn't give a crap that he didn't get to do a powerbomb. He was like, hey, I tried, okay? And he just left.
Yeah.
And he did not care whatsoever about that. And I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that. The thing that we got after that, Adam Cole returned. And then so did MJF.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was great. So MJF comes out and Adam Cole, who is clearly not cleared, and he was like, oh, hey, buddy. And then he goes for a hug and MJF hugs the guy. And then we all knew he was about to kick him right in the dick hole, which is exactly what he did. And then he gave him a brainbuster. So this was all done for me just to, you know, sweep this under the rug real quick, because I kind of feel like Adam Cole is nowhere near ready to come back.
Yeah.
And like, they kind of put this, you know, they put a pin in. That's okay. MJF said a lot of stuff after that. He mentioned Vince Kennedy McMahon. He mentioned New Japan, because I don't need Vince McMahon in New Japan to make myself worth, you know, known to the, you know, wrestling. And I'm like, oh, crap. Oh, okay. Like, he said that just to get a pop. He did get a pop, and that's it. Like, he didn't mention anything else. He has an AEW tattoo now, which is fine. Like, I'm not I'm not gonna crap on that, you know, because it's a part of your life. Of course, you can get a tattoo for that. Because I'm actually the kind of person that is planning on having a Twin Peaks sleeve. So I don't think I can judge anyone for getting an AEW tattoo. So like,
well, I think that's fine getting a tattoo. I just think it could be a better tattoo than what it was. It didn't look good, in my opinion.
I liked it. It's an old school style of tattoo. It had chips in it. You know, bet on yourself. That's fine.
It just didn't look good. Nothing. That's in my opinion. I think it could have been.
I liked it. I actually think he looked really, really good. You just might not be a fan of the style.
Yes. She do.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, she's.
This
might be the first time he's watched. I don't know.
Oh, if you're like here for the first time, that's not a lot of posters here, like a lot of Twin Peaks stuff. I adore David Lynch.
Yeah.
So, he's my dad in the parallel universe. So, like, there. Again, I'm not even covering half of the stuff that MJF said because I did not write all of this down. He says that Adam Cole didn't beat him down, he woke him up.
Yeah. So it's no, I get it. But the
Ryan, damn it. How can I ban Ryan from this? Yeah.
So yeah, it was a good promo. I thought it was good to see him back. And what do you think of the Triple H tribute there?
Oh, with the, you know, because he wasn't wearing a suit.
Yeah.
I enjoy that because if you're going to come back into something different, might as well do that. Because, like, what is the total opposite of the suit? This is the total opposite of the suit. I like that. He's also incredibly jacked, by the way.
Yeah. So
looks absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. I liked it. Yeah. But so you had that going on. What was your match of the night?
Match of the night was absolutely Ospreay and Roderick Strong. This was a absolutely thing of beauty. Copeland versus Malakai Black. Okay, first of all, I hope Adam Copeland recovers soon. Because all of us saw that spot, you know? He climbed the cage, he went for an elbow drop, and then he landed in the most awkward way possible. Malakai Black was tied to a table via barbed wire. At this point, I'm sure that something's happening backstage that we're not aware of, and that's why Malakai Black hasn't been giving, well, practically anything. I know he's probably been vocal about wanting an out. I don't know when his contract will expire. I don't have that knowledge, but like at this point, just I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I just want something to be done with Malakai Black. I kind of feel like he deserves more. And I don't know, maybe I'm seeing something that no one else is seeing. And
no, I agree with you.
Or maybe I want to believe, okay?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm right there with you. As far as like match goes of the night, I definitely agree with you. That Will Ospreay match was great. I enjoyed the Anarchy in the Arena. I thought it was pretty good. The unfortunate thing about the whole night was the Adam Copeland injury, obviously. I mean, when you land like that, I think we all knew something bad happened there. It sucks, but we wish him the best and hope he heals up quickly. And
absolutely.
If he wants, and I know he's not going to go out that way, so I hope he gets back there soon. So
Absolutely.
That's as far as the new champion, the new TBS champion, Mercedes Moné, formerly known as Sasha Banks. That was an interesting match. I mean, I think we all figured that Mercedes was going to win, which she did. But after the match, you had
AEW breaking Chris Mueller's heart. Yes.
Yeah, they broke his heart. So you had Chris Statlander and Stokely her turn on Miss Nightingale, which that was a big rumor for a while. For a little bit there, though, they got us. You know, I was thinking, huh, maybe they're not doing that yet. But nope, it worked.
Yeah, this worked us a bit.
So it worked. What did you think of this?
The match was absolutely fine. Like the finish was a bit clunky, but like that, the finisher itself looked amazing on Sky Blue. It looked amazing on Sky Blue. On Willow, you know, because of, you know, the different sizes of the two women. So it's the turn was coming and we all knew about that, but it was done in a brilliant way. And Chris Statlander actually made sense on Dynamite, because then she said, I make something about myself for once and I get booed. And I can kind of get that, and I can't boo Chris Statlander ever, because like the best heels are the ones that are right. Like that's at least for me. The match was good. I'm looking forward to Mercedes Moné actually competing now, because they saved her debut for like 2 months, and she immediately had a match between Sky Blue, because she was actually the one who actually attacked her backstage like weeks ago. So we finally got that, because like that was kind of a cliffhanger. As far as Anarchy in the Arena, this was exactly what I thought it was going to be. The thing that popped me the most was the music playing. You know, Darby's music was playing a lot, and then Matt gets on the microphone and yells at people backstage, play our music, and then they play their music. And then Bryan Danielson gets on the microphone and he said, no, cut that crap. Play the best music in wrestling, and then it's the final countdown, which was amazing, because Darby Allin got to do a coffin drop right as they started yelling, it's the final countdown. I mean, tell me that's not your biggest dream. It was really great, but like the thing that put the cherry on top was Matt Jackson getting on the microphone, and he's so fucking desperate. And he was like, guys, please cut the music. It costs us about $20,000 every time it plays. And then they cut the music, and he says, thank you. And he's like, from the bottom, he's, thank you. And I popped for that immensely. The guy's so good. I love Matt Jackson so much.
That was good.
He's so over the top. Every time, like, he's so over the top because, like, he makes fun of that. Amazing. So the match itself, like, they suspended Darby off of, you know, was it like a chain with some knots on it? Like, I don't know. They suspended the guy for pretty much 75,000 hours, and he's just standing there. They super kicked the crap out of him like a piñata. With their new shoes, like Reebok shoes, someone buy me those pairs of shoes, with thumbtacks on it. And then Okada lariats the crap out of them with a thumbtack sleeve. And I'm like, come on. Like, they do win the match. And I was right, by the way. Jack Perry pinned Bryan Danielson. Where the hell are my flowers? For guessing that.
It was a good call.
I won. I won.
Yeah, that was a good call.
So at the end of the day, what this resulted in was the Elite coming on Dynamite and then saying, like, they come out and then the crowd started chanting for CM Punk, and Okada, bless your heart, he turns to the crowd and says, "Hey, shut up, bitches."
Yeah, it was good.
I love Okada so much. So the Young Bucks decided to give Okada a present for being so good, and they give the guy a Lamborghini. Is this how you?
Lamborghini. Yeah, Lamborghini.
Lamborghini. Okay. Lamborghini. And he was like,
"Oh, I can't talk anymore. It was a good run."
Oh my God, is this a dream? And then he turns out with a poker face again.
Yeah. Lamborghini is what it's called. It's easy for me to say. It took me 12 times, but yeah.
Okay, Lamborghini. Okay.
That's what I wanted when I was a kid, like forever. And then as I got older, now it's just like, eh.
Well, it's Okada's now.
Yeah, it's Okada's. He can have it.
Yeah, so, and then they were like, okay, so, you know, we strip Adam Copeland of the TNT title because he got injured. Hope you feel better, buddy, and whatever, etc. And they're like, which means that we have to, you know, strip you of the title, and then we're going to give it to, and they're about to give it to Jack Perry. But then Christopher Daniels comes out, and he was like, well, TK named me interim EVP, and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to let it play out. And Matt Jackson was like, hey, CD, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And then Christopher Daniels says, you call me by my God-given name, and that's Christopher.
Yeah. That was weird.
That was so good. It was good. It was good. So they announced that they're going to have, a tournament.
Which AEW doesn't do tournaments much, so this is good.
No, they're extremely, familiar with people tournaments. That listen.
So
of course it's a tournament.
Announced Owen Hart tournament too,
Of course,
For July.
Yeah, but like they couldn't have predicted,
No, I know.
The thing. So, they're going to be crowned at Forbidden Door. The finals are going to be at Forbidden Door.
Yipper.
So I'm looking forward to that, like, a lot. I definitely didn't see Will Ospreay winning the Casino Gauntlet for the number one contenders match against Swerve. I didn't see this coming because, like, we had Jay White, Pac, Mystico, Ospreay, Shota, Umino. Oh, so great. Claudio, Leo Rush, by the way.
Yeah.
Did someone expect Will Ospreay to win this?
I don't know. Not that I know of. I wasn't expecting it.
I was sincerely shocked when he won. I'm not even kidding. And I'm like,
I'm kind of
pissed off that because like he's holding the international championship, and I'm kind of pissed off that he's not gonna defend it at a show named Forbidden Door. I mean, like that's exactly the show that you wanna
defend
that championship on.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I kind of wonder why they went with this match so quickly. I'm kind of wondering if they want to stop the expectations that we were going to get Will Ospreay versus Swerve at All In. Because that's where I think a lot of us thought it was going to lead to. But I don't know. So, we're going to be wrapping up the show here shortly. So, we'll go ahead and have Maggie plug your shit.
Guys, you can follow me on Twixter at Maggie_IK and on Instagram at Maggie.IK. Thank you.
Guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on Twix. I'm also on Instagram and Threads at Fightful Rob. And then every Friday, I'm on this show called Coexisting with this lovely, lovely lady to my left, or for you guys to my right. But check us out like you are right now every Friday at 3 o'clock. We have a good old time. So we hope you enjoyed this show today. But
please leave a comment after the show is done.
Yeah,
I will make you do this every show. After the show is done, please leave a comment below. Thank you.
Yeah. So since we got a few minutes left, if anybody has any questions, throw them out there. We'll answer them. So, but what do you think of Gangrel showing up? That was pretty cool.
That was you made me believe that Gangrel was showing up. So I was like, there you go. Rob was right. Yeah.
Yeah, that was
to this day the best Impaler DDT ever. To this day.
Yep.
Sean Ross Sapp, who? No.
Yes. Hey, Gangrel said he had a good one.
Gangrel loves his Impaler DDT. Yeah, so
that's impressive.
It was really good. Granted, they did say that the winners of the Owen Cup tournament will get shots at titles at Wembley. So yeah. I suppose that the winner of the Owen Cup will face Swerve at All In. So
yeah. So we'll have to see who wins.
Mm-hmm. We're absolutely about to see. So
yeah.
It's not, I mean, Ospreay can still win. He's an international champion. Getting the shot against Swerve at Forbidden Door and winning the Owen, I don't see that happening, because you don't want to build him up so much.
Yeah.
I can see MJF winning the Owen.
Yeah.
Because that could be a thing. I can see a lot of stuff happening. So
here's a question. Yeah. Here's a question from Ricardo. He says, thoughts on a potential TNA championship run for Matt Hardy? I personally don't need either Hardy as a major title holder in 2024. You know, it's one of those things where Matt Hardy's for us who are following internet wrestling, Twitter, the IWC, as much as I hate saying that, I can see where a lot of us are like that. But for the average fan, he's still a big name.
Yes.
That people recognize, so I can see them going that route. Would I like that to happen? Not really. I think they have other people they could go to that they could do. I mean, I could see, I wouldn't mind seeing Josh Alexander get another title run. Steve Macklin, Santana would be good. They got a lot of people that I think would be more... it'd be more beneficial. Matt Hardy doesn't need a title. That's my thing. He's already that far over. He doesn't need a title. He can do his thing without one.
For me personally, I'm not interested in a Matt Hardy title run right now. Because that's speaking for me. People adore the Hardys. I adore the Hardys. But at this day of age, what I would like to see the Hardys do is actually elevate the younger talent. That's the proper use of the stars from that generation. And I'm not going to see the old generation, because they're not old, okay? They can still go. I'm not here for it.
Well, guys, next week we will be doing our NXT predictions for their next PLE. What? I forgot the name of their PLE next week, but oh well.
Battleground.
Oh, thank you, Battleground. I kept on wanting to say Vegas, and I'm like, that's not right. But Battleground next week. So want to say thank you again for tuning in. We really do appreciate you guys, and we hope that you have a great weekend. So thank you, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Ohio seniors, make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. Enroll by December 7th.
It's simple math. Tim Horton's 2-3-4 menu fills your mornings without emptying your pockets. $2 gets you a hot coffee or a classic bagel. $3, try a sausage and cheese English muffin or two classic donuts. And for $4, enjoy an egg and cheese croissant or an iced cap. Do the math. It all adds up to delicious deals. Only at Tim's. The Tim's 2-3-4 menu is available until 2 p.m. at select Columbus, Ohio restaurants. Terms apply.